What if your very existence was considered a weapon? Juliet Farrar's wakes up with a bullet hole in her chest that should have killed her, saved only by the man she once feared most. Warner, the cold commander who imprisoned her, delivers crushing news. Omega Point, the rebel sanctuary where she found family, has been obliterated. Everyone she loves, Adam, Kenji, Castle, presumably dead. The grief floods through her until she's collapsed on the floor, salt-dried tears marking her face. But here's where everything shifts. Instead of surrendering to despair, Juliet makes a choice that will define her entire transformation: rise or remain broken. She chooses fire over ashes. This moment marks the beginning of her evolution from victim to avenger, from weapon to warrior. When Warner reveals that two healers survived and offers to help her destroy his own father, Supreme Commander Anderson, their unlikely alliance begins. What unfolds is not just a story of rebellion, but a profound exploration of how we reclaim power from those who tried to break us. One memory haunts Juliet: the torture chamber where Warner forced her to harm a toddler with her lethal touch. Warner shatters this with a revelation. It was a simulation. The soundproof room created scenarios from her deepest fears, evolving with her responses. While accepting responsibility, Warner's genuinely offended she believed he'd use an actual child. This forces Juliet to question everything about reality, perception, and Warner himself. The simulation wasn't cruelty, it was desperation. Warner's mother suffers from an inverted version of Juliet's condition, experiencing unbearable pain at any contact. Kept drugged and isolated, she no longer recognizes her son. Warner's obsession with Juliet's abilities stemmed from hope that understanding her power might help his mother. This transforms him from villain to something far more complex, someone capable of both calculated manipulation and profound compassion. When Juliet accuses Warner of not knowing her despite reading her journal, he smoothly steals it back, a reminder their relationship remains a dance of power and vulnerability. Alone afterward, Juliet experiences an epiphany. After 264 days imprisoned, fantasizing about overthrowing the reestablishment, she realizes who should lead this resistance: herself. Not Castle, Kenji, Adam, or Warner, but her. Someone with nothing left to lose becomes the most dangerous person in any room. Omega Point is gone, a mile-wide crater where hope once stood. Gunshots crack the air as Kenji, miraculously alive, aims at Warner. Warner reveals he can now tap into nearby powers, using Kenji's invisibility. He offers to help kill Anderson, but refuses to include Juliet's friends. She has 4 hours to decide. Kenji leads her to Adam's apartment, where Castle, Brendan, Lily, Ian, Aaliyah, and James wait, scarred but alive. Adam's embrace is careful, avoiding her skin. Everyone mourns their losses, but Juliet feels only determination. She's broken free from fear's control. Unity shatters when Warner appears at their hideout, facing 6 guns. When Juliet reveals her alliance with Warner against Anderson, Adam explodes. She needs more than just him. She needs freedom. Adam storms out, their relationship shattered, exposing a painful truth. He loved the fragile girl he rescued, not the powerful woman she's becoming. The love triangle between Juliet, Adam, and Warner mirrors her transformation. Adam was her first experience of kindness, a lifeline for someone starved of human contact. But as Juliet grows stronger, their foundation crumbles. Adam expects her to remain the grateful girl he rescued, a role she can no longer play without diminishing herself. Warner confronts this directly. "You want to be with me, and it terrifies you." He argues that Adam doesn't truly know her, that she tiptoes around him, afraid of showing her true self. "I need waves. I need waterfalls. I want rushing currents," she tells Kenji. She's no longer content with safety. She craves growth and challenge. When Adam learns of Juliet's alliance with Warner, he lashes out. "He was happier when I thought she was dead, because it hurts so much less than this." His love is conditional, caring for who he wants her to be, not who she's becoming. Warner's feelings remain constant despite rejection. Juliet's confusion stems from limited understanding of love itself. Was what she felt for Adam truly love or merely gratitude? Warner makes her feel strong, smart, capable, treating her as an equal, not someone fragile requiring protection. With Warner, she doesn't have to diminish herself to make someone else comfortable. Warner's controlled exterior masks deep trauma scars on his back from annual whippings by his father, ages 5 to 18. This explains his obsession with control and carefully hidden vulnerability. When Warner takes Juliet to his mother's Robin's Egg Blue house, they find it empty. She has died, abandoned by Anderson. Warner collapses, and Juliet stays through his grief. "We are like, quotation marks, inverted and upside down, clinging to one another at the end of this life sentence, trapped by lives we did not choose." This shared vulnerability creates intimacy beyond attraction. Juliet tells him, "There's nothing wrong with you that isn't already wrong with me, and I'm not trying to fix you." She confesses, "I do want you. I want you so much it scares me. I love you exactly as you are." Their union represents acceptance of each other's darkness, pain, and potential. As Warner whispers, "I think my heart is going to explode," Juliet recognizes this as connection without condition. Juliet's journey from fearing her lethal touch to mastering it mirrors her evolution from victim to leader. Warner teaches her proper combat technique until understanding replaces mimicry. Her projection abilities become effortless. She controls her energy precisely, focusing on any object from any distance. The breakthrough comes when Adam forces Kenji's bare hand into hers, and nothing happens. Juliet can control her power, turn it off like other gifted people. Alia designs her a carbon fiber combat suit. If Juliet maintains electrucum constantly, she becomes functionally invincible. This confidence culminates in her address to Sector 45 soldiers. She challenges them, "What has the reestablishment ever done for you?" To demonstrate her power, she parts the crowd with her energy, then jumps from a 100-foot platform, landing with such force the ground shatters. The soldiers erupt in cheers, recognizing a leader powerful enough to protect them and brave enough to challenge the system that's failed them. The final confrontation arrives after Juliet's rally. Supreme Commander Anderson has docked at Sector 45. Fighting through security, Juliet discovers bullets bounce off her harmlessly, just as Alia predicted. After dispatching hundreds of soldiers, she finds Sonia and Sarah alive. They warn her about Anderson's weapon, too late. Invisible sound waves throw her against the wall. Despite the brutal assault, thinking of Kenji gives her strength. She grabs the blonde operator's neck and squeezes until something cracks. Anderson fires repeatedly at her face. In final defiance, she grabs his ankles and crushes the bones, then shoots him twice in the forehead, once for Adam, once for Warner. By killing Anderson, she frees countless others from his tyranny. After carrying the injured Kenji to healers, Juliet accesses the speaker system. "Attention, Sector 45. The Supreme Commander of the Reestablishment is dead. The capital has surrendered. The war is over. I am Juliet Ferrars, and I will lead this nation." The soldiers cheer and salute. From a rooftop, Juliet watches her friends emerge from the battlefield. James runs to Adam, who lifts his brother with a smile she's never seen. Warner pulls himself onto the roof. "Aaron," she whispers, using his first name, his true self. When he pulls her into his arms, every part of her comes undone. "You know," he whispers, "the whole world will be coming for us now." She responds, "I can't wait to watch them try."